It's 1:06 p.m. Wednesday, May 17th, and you're listening to King of the Ring Radio. King of the Ring Radio, where we take you out of the neutral corner and right smack dab into the center of the combat sports arena. I'm your host, Jordan Betancourt, and today on our show, we have with us, from 10 Goose Boxing Gym, amateur boxer Dustin Dukes. Dustin, thank you for coming on the show.
Thank you for having me, Jordan.
How are you doing today?
I'm doing pretty good.
Doing well?
Good day.
Cool. Me too. It's a pretty nice day out. Not too hot, not too cold. And there's not too much sunshine. I feel like sunshine's a little bit overrated a little bit.
True. Definitely out here.
So, where are you from originally, Dustin?
I'm from North Carolina. Actually, born in New York, but...
Born in New York?
Raised in North Carolina.
Whereabouts in New York?
Yonkers.
In Yonkers. Oh, just like...
Y.O.
Like DMX.
Yes.
Oh, a good friend of mine's mother is from Yonkers. They call it Yonkers, right?
Yeah.
I know that's, I butchered that. It sounded terrible.
But I represent North Carolina, Hillsborough, North Carolina.
Hillsborough, okay. So UNC or Duke or NC State?
Duke boy.
Duke for sure. Okay.
Last name Dukes, I go with Duke.
You know, I never even thought about that before. Illuminati confirmed. Speaking of basketball, well, now I guess we weren't talking about basketball, but automatically when we think of Duke, North Carolina,
basketball. Ball comes to your mind.
Ball is life. Other than boxing, what would you say is your favorite sport?
Other than boxing, probably soccer, I would say.
Soccer?
Yes.
The best sport?
Yeah. Very, very. I'm definitely, my favorite team by far in soccer is Milan, but.
AC Milan?
Yeah, AC Milan all day, Italy, but I'm a soccer fan.
Oh, nice. What position did you play in soccer?
I played forward.
Forward.
Yeah. I was actually all-state all 4 years. Oh, wow. And
In
North Carolina, yes. And I had up to 20 goals all 3 years, my sophomore, junior, and senior year.
Whoa.
Yeah, I was pretty good at soccer.
Pretty good. I would say, what made you decide to give that up?
I don't know. I just lost the passion for it. It's coming back to me now, but I honestly just lost the passion.
Moving away from your favorite sport to play, how about your favorite sport to watch on television and just to keep track of and follow in general, other than boxing?
Basketball.
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 That would probably be up there with me as well. Who is your favorite team?
OKC.
The Oklahoma City Thunder.
Russell Westbrook.
Russell Westbrook, your favorite player.
Yes.
So, all biases aside, should he be the 2017 NBA MVP?
He should. Unanimously. Averaged a triple-double. 30 points, I believe 10 assists and 10 rebounds. That's amazing.
And Dustin, remember as a child going into my school's library, reading these dusty old books, opening them up, and they would talk about Oscar Robertson, and he averaged a triple-double back in 1964. I don't think that was the actual year. And just thinking to myself, that's unbelievable. That's Bunyan-esque.
No one will ever, ever beat that, you know?
That's like a 2K stat.
Exactly. I'm currently doing that in 2K.
Oh, you are averaging a triple-double with your My Player?
With my Player.
Oh, wow. That is impressive.
It is.
And how do you feel about Kevin Durant?
I'm going to be honest. That's still my boy.
Okay.
But
okay.
I want to see him win this championship.
I do too.
And I will welcome him back with open arms to OKC.
If he ever comes back. You never know. LeBron came back to Cleveland.
Exactly. I see it happening.
We didn't think that would happen. But it did. And I'm a Warriors fan, so I suppose I'm more than a little bit biased in wanting to see Durant get that elusive first title for himself.
True.
Well, getting back to boxing.
Okay.
What made you decide to take up of every sport in the world, Dustin? You're obviously very athletic, all-state in soccer. Did you play any other sports in high
track
school?
And field.
Track and field?
Did
you do well with that?
I was as well state. All-state in that, too, well, and state champion my senior year.
So that's two different sports.
Yes.
You were, like, high level.
Yeah.
But you decided to focus your athletic talents to the sport of boxing, one of the toughest, most unforgiving sports known to man. What prompted that choice?
Just to compete against another human being, like physically, is my passion. So what more is to compete against someone else in boxing? You know, you compete against another person.
That is very true. I mean, you're not gonna walk up to somebody, hey man, I can take you down in a swimming race.
Exactly. Let's go, like, pal. Let's put these two fists up and let's see what happens.
It's just like the rawest form of competition between two people.
True.
And then at the end of the day,
it's about who wants it more, you know, who has more passion, who needs it more, you know.
What weight class are you planning to campaign at?
135, hopefully. 135. Yes, I'm gonna see if I can. I feel like I can get down to that weight.
Is there ever any trouble maintaining your weight for boxing?
Definitely is. You can blow up when you're not in the gym easily. Just while sitting on the couch eating, playing video games, you know.
How much weight are we talking here over the course of 2 weeks?
That I usually get up to?
Yes.
Nothing too high. I've been up to maybe 151.
151, and yeah. Then as low as maybe 38.
Yes, exactly.
That's a pretty big fluctuation.
It is.
And then perhaps one day settling in at welterweight, would you think?
I could see myself settling at welterweight, 147.
Floyd Mayweather began his career at 130 pounds, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
And that's where he won his first world title.
It is.
Okay.
If that was possible for me to make 130, I won't rule that out either, 130. That's still in my mind, but I just think I'll probably be stronger at 135.
I would probably have to agree. You're about 5'10".
Yeah.
5'10", 130. It's not unheard of.
True.
In fact, Diego Corrales, he was like 6'1", and he would campaign at 130.
Jesus.
But I would hear six, just some.
Whoa.
But there's, man, what he had to go through in camp,
I believe
to
it.
Make that weight. Just no food, no water, training, just...
He had to go...
Speaking of that, Dustin, what does your typical workout regimen on a weekly basis, what does it consist of?
You definitely want to include running.
So that's, you get up in the morning.
One. Yes, get up in the morning and running. And then you're going to, you know, go to the gym, of course, get your jump rope, do about maybe... Five rounds of that.
So that's about 15 minutes.
Yeah, 15 minutes rope. On the skipping rope. And then...
Non-stop? You're not taking breaks during the...
Some people do. I don't take breaks. It's better to, you know, just to have your cardio constantly being pushed. So after that, I'll get to the speed bag, and I'll do maybe five rounds of that.
That's second.
Yes.
No shadow boxing.
No, that's after. That's after the speed bag. I would do shadow boxing in the ring, maybe three or four rounds, nothing too much, so I'm not too tired. And then I get my gloves put on, my wraps and my gloves, and then I'll hit some mitts with my coach Efra.
How many rounds of the mitts?
It varies depending on how sharp I'm looking. He'll continue to go. If I'm looking really sharp, 6, 7, 8 rounds on the mitts, and then he'll I'll get some water in me, and then I'll hit the bag for 10 more rounds.
To me, working the mitts has got to be, other than sparring, probably the second most tiring of all the boxing exercises that you can do.
Yeah, because it's hands on, like
exactly
reactive,
and the trainer is dictating exactly to you what you're going to do. He's
true.
Calling the combinations.
So you have to be very, very mentally sharp and reactive. Like your agility or whatever has to be very on point, you know?
Right, and you can't just take a break when you feel like it.
Exactly.
Unless you want to get chastised.
Yeah, you know, they're going to pick on you.
So you typically, you train at Tengu's boxing gym still?
Yeah, train at Tengu's. Have the sweater on here.
Rocking the gear.
Yeah.
How do you like it there? Describe the atmosphere of Tengu's boxing to me.
I love the atmosphere. You get a little bit of everything, you know, which I like. You know, everyone's themselves. You know, it's not one way or another, but, you know, it's pretty comfortable in there to me.
So just a pretty inclusive environment.
Yeah, you know. People are welcome you there. You know, you feel welcome, but you will get some clowning.
Some clowning.
You'll get some clowning.
Anyone in particular?
I would have to definitely say Brandon Rios is a clown.
Yeah.
But he's definitely awesome.
Keeps it loose. So you get to watch Brandon train fairly often.
Which is great. Like, you're watching a former world champion right there. So that's the best experience you can get.
From watching Brandon train, what would you say that you have learned from observing his regimen, his attitude, his skills and his technique in the gym?
His technique is improved a lot since he's came to Ten Goose, I would say. But learning from him, I learned that you got to stay positive and happy throughout, no matter what happens out through your career. You have to have that passion continuously.
Right.
Stay positive. So I'm learning that from him.
His last fight, he took a pretty tough loss.
Yeah, he did.
To Timothy Bradley.
Yeah, he did. And
it was his first stoppage and only stoppage.
Yeah, only stoppage. Exactly. And he understood that he did wrong things. So he's back in the gym with Ricky.
Wrong things in training.
Yeah, wrong things in the training and stuff. So, you know, he's back with Ricky. So hopefully his career flourishes from here. And I really do believe it will.
Is he fairly knowledgeable about the sport of boxing? A big misconception I think about him is that he's just a brawler, but I feel that he's a very intelligent fighter, an inside fighter.
He's an intelligent inside fighter.
You would agree with that?
I would definitely agree with that, honestly. He has just about the best heart in the game, probably the best heart in the game.
The best
chin, and when he puts himself and when he pushes himself in training camp, he's one of the best in the world, or if not the best.
In his comeback fight, well, let's assume that he takes a stay busy fight. Well, after that, who would you like to see him against?
I would like to see him take out Lucas Matisse. Start from there.
Ooh, that would be a really
From Lucas Matisse, and then you move up from there. Maybe he'll get the Danny Garcia fight after that.
Lucas looked really good on that undercard of Canelo and Chavez.
Yes.
The entire undercard of Canelo versus Chavez was actually much better.
It was much better than expected. It was. Better than the main event. You know, we got more
everything
action.
Everything was better than the main event.
It was just, you know, Chavez was a punching bag. A walking punching bag.
That was disappointing. I didn't think he would win.
And I was rooting for Chavez.
I was too.
And not to take anything away from Canelo, I just thought the bigger guy would impose his will, close him in on the ropes, and just hammer him.
The strategy employed in that fight was questionable, to say the least. Would you agree?
Yes. They should have allowed him to be himself and not made him box. I thought maybe he would have done better. I mean, considering who his father is, you know, with the movement and the jabs and stuff. But that just didn't look like him. He should have just stuck to his inside game, throwing the uppercuts and the hooks to the bodies and trying to break Canelo down and wear him down.
He only had Canelo on the ropes maybe four times that entire fight.
And he looked good when he did that.
He did, but then he would back off
and just stand directly in the middle of the ring, and
it's as if his trainer wanted him to fight a type of fight based off of his body type, because sure, Chavez is the taller, longer fighter, so automatically you would think, okay, stand in the center of the ring, just jab him and try to keep him away and just control the center. But that's just not the way that Julio fights.
No, that's just not him. You know, he never fought that way ever in his entire career.
And now, there is a rumor going around that he may return to Ten Goose Boxing Gym, that Ricky Funes may train him again. Do you think that he would help?
Yes, he would get the correct sparring partners. Like, he would just get the correct amount of training and sparring partners for his next fight. Because this fight, he didn't get the correct amount of, you know, that the guy that was on the undercard fighting against who was that?
Reyes versus Lemieux.
Lemieux, you know.
And Reyes was Chavez's chief sparring partner.
Yeah, Chavez. It looked like Chavez helped him more than he helped Chavez. You know.
I feel like Chavez would have lost to either one of those dudes.
Exactly.
You know, Chavez is one of my favorite fighters too. Yeah. Maybe it's just because of his dad.
He can still campaign at 160 though.
He could. Maybe that was it. That was something he complained about, just the drastic weight loss coming down from like 170 to fight it. What was that catch? What, 164 and a half was it?
Yeah.
That's, I've never heard of that in my life. That's ridiculous. But
if Gil, like I said, if Gil moves up, he can maybe take over 168 if he wants to get down there. But 175 and up, he shouldn't do.
I definitely agree. 175, that was crazy. That was crazy. Isn't it?
Bonfara, come on.
Oh, boy. That was so disappointing.
That was rushed. That.
Dusty, is there any particular boxer that you pattern your style after?
I don't try to pattern my style after one particular fight. I just try to take a combination of different styles and mesh them into one. You know, like maybe I'll take from Floyd Mayweather, Uriarchy's Gamboa.
What would you specifically would you take from Floyd? If you only could pick one or two things, I'm sure everyone would like to pick literally everything from Floyd.
One thing or?
Let's go with one. Let's go with one from Floyd, and then we'll move on to Gamboa and go from there.
Alertness. Being alert.
Ring generalship.
Ring generalship, and just being very imposing, even if you don't have the most power, you know,
or size.
Size or anything. Just impose your will and your skill.
Just you're the boss in there.
Exactly. With Gamboa, I would take, you know, speed and different types of speed and power. He has his combinations are ridiculous. When he's at his best. I don't care what anyone says.
I agree with you. I just think whoever his promoter was or his manager did a horrendous job of matchmaking when he put him in there against Crawford. And for the first half of that fight, Gamboa looked
amazing.
He did. He looked like he just was outclassing him athletically. It was just two different levels of fighters. But over time, just Crawford's size and strength.
Like Floyd Mayweather says, he's one of those guys that's a front runner. He's good for the first six rounds, and after that he fades.
It's a shame.
But in going back to another person I take things from is Rigondeaux.
Guillermo Rigondeaux. There's angles, 28 million ways to pronounce that name.
Yeah.
Especially if you're Jim Lampley.
True. Rigondeaux, you know. But yeah, his angles and his foot speed is ridiculous. So I definitely watch him a lot.
That guy's like a wizard in real life. I can recall when he first had that fight against Sonido Donaire. That was about 4 years ago now.
Yeah, I watched that live.
I would think I was on the ship and I had to watch a replay of it.
It was surgery out there. Like, he dissected him.
And I felt that Donaire was going to get him. Donaire is physically much bigger.
Yeah, it was like a praying mantis versus a big ant.
That's a really good, like one of the ants from that movie entitled Ants.
Yes. Yeah.
That was just shocking. And then Donaire, I feel like Bob Arum, after that happened, because they wanted to build Donaire like he was going to be the next Pacquiao. He had that momentum. He was the fighter of the year year before.
The knockout before that fight was against Montiel.
Yeah.
Man.
Oh, that was savage.
He had him pulsing on the ground. Ooh.
That was low-key scary, really.
Yeah.
And then Rigondeaux does that to him, just makes him look like nothing. And I feel like HBO and Bob Arum
ultimately shook his mind up. Now it's kind of hard for him to come back.
I was at that fight against Nicholas Walters on the undercard of Triple G versus Rubio. And when he got stopped by Walters.
That was horrific.
And I feel that they hold that against the powers that be in the sport.
Yeah.
Hold that against Rigondeaux for doing that.
Yeah.
And at the same time, Rigondeaux doesn't have that appealing style to the casual boxing fan.
Exactly. Thank you for saying casual boxing fan.
Yeah.
Yeah, because if you know the sport of boxing, it's called to hit and not get hit.
He's like a Bruce Lee of boxing.
Perfect example.
Like a grandmaster.
He would have. He, in my opinion, I believe if he was Floyd Mayweather's size, that would have been the ultimate fight of the century. Like, seriously, because a southpaw who's slick versus an orthodox fighter who's slick, you don't know who could win that. And Rigondeaux is better than Pacquiao, skill-wise, in my opinion.
Rigondeaux is probably better than just about anybody I've seen in maybe the last 25 years.
Yeah.
Him and Floyd. You got to throw Floyd in there,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, it's like they're hand in hand.
Just like their skills. Except Rigondeaux doesn't really speak English. He doesn't have that brash persona of Floyd Mayweather.
He hasn't broken into the America's culture. He's still in, you know, he needs to learn some, just a little bit of English so he can appeal.
At the end of the day, it is prize fighting.
Exactly. You have to appeal to the fan.
Who is your favorite fighter of all time?
Miguel Cotto.
Miguel Cotto?
Yeah.
Why would you pick the great Miguel Cotto over every other...
The best Puerto Rican fighter to ever live.
Whoa!
Yes.
Whoa, better than Tito Trinidad.
Better than Tito Trinidad.
Oh my gosh. Oh, you're going to get flamed in the comment section, Dustin.
I'm sorry, but...
Why would you take him over Tito? Not that I necessarily disagree, but...
5-time world champion. I'm going to hold it up. And
140.
140.
47.
Mm-hmm.
54.
And 60. But, 4-time world champion, sorry.
Trinidad
is 3-time world champion, sorry.
You know, I just rewatched Trinidad versus Vargas from several years ago.
Okay.
Man, that was a crazy fight.
Yeah. I still think what's his name? Vargas wasn't ready for him.
You're absolutely
if,
right.
If Vargas would have progressed his career how Canelo was doing his career, Vargas would be way even bigger star than he is
that
now.
That is a perfect analogy. Perfect analogy. Wasn't Vargas maybe, 21, 22, and they threw him in with Tito Trinidad?
21. Ridiculous.
He put him on the deck, too. He knocked down Trinidad.
He did.
And he looked like he was going to get knocked out in that first round.
Vargas would beat a bunch of 54-pounders right now. And 60.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Like, man.
They really should have managed him a lot better. The kid just had more heart than he needed to. It was almost too much for his own good.
More pride, you know. He just wanted to take those fights because, you know, I mean, that's smart, though. You want to do that that early in your career if you want to break into stardom at 21.
But maybe not against...
Maybe
not against Trinidad.
Yeah, but that was a test for him then. No one else could beat him, so...
Not until he moved to 60 and fought Hopkins.
True.
That
was, and Hopkins, man.
That was something else. All right, Dustin. Before we get to my favorite part of the show, which is... matchups from history, I gotta address the rumor about your sparring session at Tengu's Boxing Gym with Justin Bieber. Is it true?
It is true.
What was that like? Was it a lot of fun?
It was fun.
Is he a good guy?
He's a nice guy. We had a good sparring session.
Did he sing any songs for you?
No. He dapped me up. We spoke a little bit and then he left.
From what I understand,
he went 4 rounds, by the way.
He's a tough kid, right?
Yeah, I think he could hold his own in the streets.
Just needs to pick fights with people closer to his size, maybe not like a 300-pound bouncer.
Yeah, not for him, but good guy, though.
Man, that Bieber, he is something else. Probably my favorite singer in the world. Time for my favorite part of the show. We will start with Roy Jones Jr. against Sergey Kovalev at 175 pounds. So we're talking Roy Jones. Let's say Roy Jones before he fought Antonio Tarver the first time. Versus Sergey Kovalev of today.
Okay. I'm going to go detail with this. It would be Sergey Kovalev dropping him once and then maybe Roy Jones finishing him in probably 8 rounds.
Oh, Jones catches up to him.
Yeah, but they both get knocked down.
So he knocks him down early, and then Jones's hand speed just starts to take its toll
on him.
And Kovalev's never been against something like that before.
No, nothing that explosive.
Anthony Joshua versus not Vladimir Klitschko, but his brother, Vitaly.
Vitaly would take him out.
I wholeheartedly agree.
Vitaly would take him out with those hooks. Were just ridiculous, sweeping hooks.
He was this close to beating Lennox Lewis, but they had that horrible cut.
On his eye. Mm-hmm.
Last question. Felix Trinidad versus Canelo Alvarez at 154 pounds.
Felix Trinidad.
Stops him.
Does he stop him? With a body shot.
Left hook to the body.
Canelo throws a body shot and he throws it back and hits him left side. Boom.
Canelo, he throws those left hooks to the body, beautiful, but he's like stuck and planted. Trinidad's
quick in there and it's like precisely put in there, you know?
That guy was just something else. Dustin, where can our fans follow you on social media?
They can follow me at Porter Rock's own P-O-R-T underscore O-W-N.
Dusty, it was a pleasure having you on the program today.
Thank you.
Be sure to tune in next week for the next episode of King of the Ring Radio. For KPCRadio.com, I'm Jordan Betancourt, signing off.